Watch what happens. Watch what happens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that happens?
Happens.
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. I'm Ben Mandelker, and joining me only a scant 2 miles away, which is such an honor as opposed to several states, it's Mr. Ronnie Karam. Hi, Ronnie. How are you?
Well, hello, Ben.
How are you enjoying your Los Angeles hotel room?
I'm good. It's pretty, but it's, man, it's tiny. I'm just in a little box in here, walking back and forth. Like, this is luxury. This is luxury.
Well, it is luxury. It's small luxury. Luxury doesn't have to necessarily imply expanse. It just implies high-quality fabrics.
Well, that's what it is.
That's what it is. Well, you guys, thanks to everyone who showed up at our shows over the weekend. People who came to our LA show, our San Diego show, those were wonderful. It was so exciting. Bill Burr came, which was a surprise and also very thrilling. We have many, many shows coming up. And so here are the shows for March. Okay. We have St. Paul, Minnesota, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, Chicago, Illinois, Philadelphia, DC, Pittsburgh, and Denver. So we definitely want to see you guys there. We always have great audiences in all those cities. So that's going to be a thrill. And we also have some amazing merch. I don't know if you, those who came to the show in LA saw Ronnie sporting those amazing Crappies leggings. How did those feel, Ronnie?
Amazing. Okay, I'm in them right now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're nice and stretchy. We got some amazing leggings. I was sporting a Trixie Monocle tee in San Diego. They're very cool and very chic. So go to crappensmerch.com to get your Crappens merchandise. And I believe there are like some pins up there too, which are super awesome. And all sorts of really cool things. So check those out. And I think that's pretty much it. We've got Green Room tonight, by the way. We got a very fun Green Room. Already some interesting headlines that we definitely have to be talking about. There's a Fatburger scandal happening that's impacting the Richard sisters. So we'll have to talk about that. And Gertie from Miami is being sued. So come join us on the Spotify Green Room app.
Yeah, that's at 7 p.m. Pacific time, 10 p.m. Eastern time. All right. So today is the season finale of Salt Lake City. And before we get into it, I'd just like to tell the producers of Salt Lake City, this show ended in the last episode. Thank you. But thanks for piecing together this, whatever this was. But you had a great season. Just ended on time. Come on, guys. Timing.
Yeah, it was a little odd because it was sort of like a hodgepodge of like perfectly nice scenes to watch. But it did feel like it had already ended. And especially since we had to wait 2 weeks for it, it was like just ever so slightly anticlimactic. You know, Jenny tried to really bring the heat at the end there. I don't think anyone really cared too much about
Jenny made a complete asshole out of herself on national TV. So that was fun.
Andy, did you notice they did not give her an epilogue?
Sorry, I was drinking.
You're drinking. I heard the gulp. It's okay.
No, I did not notice, but I'm glad. I mean, what would it say anyway? Like, well, Jenny's terrible. The end.
I wasn't sure what they were going to say. I was so fascinated. And I was like, oh, they're just not going to say anything. Like, oh, I see. She got fired. She got fired in this episode. So she got literally demoted. So, and I went back. And I was like, they still gave her her tagline moment. They didn't give her the epilogue, so she transitioned to friend of over the course of the hour.
Jenny has been spending a lot of her free time on Facebook. The end.
So let's get into it, shall we?
We open this up season on The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. It just starts with Whitney fucking the floor. I was like, well, there we go. It's going to be an episode.
I mean, this show has been going on, it feels like forever. I mean, I think the season started in September, maybe. It definitely was going. It was. I think it was definitely like late September, and now we're, you know, we're going to be pushing March. I mean, that's a 6 month span. So, yeah, we had the nice, a very long previously this season, which has me believing that there was once a like let's wrap up Jenny's storyline segment in this hour, and they decided let's get rid of that and just make the previously this season 10 extra minutes.
Yes. So we opened with a non-Ha song, which was disturbing. I mean, yeah. I think even the Trixie Mormon Clackle Choir was like, you know what? This season should have been over. We're not coming to work today. Okay? You will have no Ha's for this episode. Yeah. Thank you.
And there was a song later in the episode, which was, not only did it not sound very Trixie Monoclackle Choir, but it actually sounded scandalous for this show. I don't know if you heard it, but we'll get to it, okay? We'll get to it.
Normal sized underwear, normal sized underwear.
Is that a tribute to Justin?
I'm not wearing long johns anymore. So Lisa and John are walking into their event space to Lisa and John walk into an event space where they're gonna have a Vita party. I love that, love that, love that. Oh my god, I love that. Is this a Vita bottle painting on a wall? Love that. Oh my god, is that a Corona bottle over there? At least I'm not a whore. Get it out of my face. Only Vita.
And, you know, you've been mentioning the past few weeks about Lisa having this other voice. I did hear it this time. And, you know, it's more like she has another octave when she's in a good mood. She goes, guys, hi.
Yeah. I love this thing. It's really.
Yeah. She just goes up there. It's like a tea kettle going off.
So they walk into this event space. And now my theory is that this is why we have the season finale, because, you know, Lisa had it in her contract that she's having the season finale at her Vita launch, you know, because that's the only reason for this party. So they walk into their event space to check it out, and they put up a little ding thing for, I love it, because she just keeps walking around and saying that to every single thing. Oh my God, it's a floor. I love that. You know what? People would just fall right into the water if there wasn't a floor. I love that.
Oh my God, I love this. It's just like my invite. It's gorgeous. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it.
So then we go over to Mary and Robert, her son, doing putt-putt.
At Mulligan's, our favorite golf course in Salt Lake City.
Yeah, Mulligan's. They've got to deal with Mulligan's this year.
God, poor Topgolf. Topgolf must have been like, you're not allowed to film here anymore. You have to go to Mulligan's down the street with your like broken animatronics from that Facebook ad.
Yeah, Topgolf is way too classy now. They're like, broken glass in Topgolf.
Yeah, go to Mulligan's right by the, it's at the corner of the I-10 freeway and the I-5 freeway. It's literally bounded by highways.
Yeah, you have to go to bottom of the barrel golf now. It's called Mulligan's.
The name says it all. It's literally like going to a batting cage called strikeout. Strikeouts. Make strikeouts.
It's like going to a batting cage called like basketball. Like you're so bad at it.
It's just something else. And it's just like going to some sort of like a football experience called Broken Legs Career Overed.
Yeah. A driving class called like Fiery Inferno. So Mary and Robert are putt-putting, and it's pretty much how I think anything they do is do together is, it's pretty much how it goes. Mary going, okay, we're gonna bet. How much you wanna bet? You don't wanna bet me that. You better get your cash ready. We're gonna bet. Whoop. Hit it. I hit the ball. And he's just standing there chewing gum, kind of staring at her, but also through her.
Yeah, you know? Through her. Yeah, that's a really good way to put it. That's also, I believe it might be their first time ever playing miniature golf or encountering the concept of golf, because they looked like they didn't really know what they were doing. They're like, huh, what?
Yeah.
It was a very lifeless miniature golf experience, which if it had been me, would have been full of like lots of excitement and thrill, because I love mini putt-putt.
Can I can I get some help here? Why would I want to hit the lighthouse? Why would I do that? It's like, ma'am, don't worry. It's just a set. I taught my son better than this. Okay. Why would I hit the lighthouse?
Ma'am, you got to keep your ball on the green. Says who? I don't have to. I don't want to. Well, why don't you want to? I don't have to tell you that.
So then we go over to Jen's house with Murillo taping up boxes in Jen's closet, which, welcome to the rest of your life, because this is Murillo's life, you know? Like, it's never going to change from this.
And what I love about Jen's closet is, you know, she's got this big old closet with all her clothes in it, but, like, she's still got those white IKEA clasks, whatever they're called, bookcases that, like, we all have. Like, I'm staring at them right now in my office. Like, she's trying to seem super glam, but she's got that IKEA shelving system.
Yeah. And Murillo really is a dum-dum. He goes, ding dong! And he goes, I think the doorbell just rang. Oh, do you? It was super loud.
That was the toaster.
I think the doorbell just rang. Wow. I hope you get a raise.
Yeah, and so it's a mover, and he's like, Jen, long time no see. It's been, like 6 months since you last moved? So Jen is like, so after looking at many, many, many houses, we finally found something? Why does anyone find me? We're downsizing, and it's like, it's not 9,000 square feet. It's about half that, and I would like an A for effort, because I'm doing the best that I can with what I can do.
Oh, wow, you're doing the best you can? No, you don't get an A for effort. You get a zero for broke ass. Okay, 450,000 million square feet.
You get a mulligans. Yeah.
And I just wrote, your mother just gave you her entire retirement fund, ma'am. And you're spending that on a 4,000 square foot house. Wow.
Exactly. It's called get a condo. Get a 3-bedroom condo. One of your sons doesn't even have to live there. Fire Murillo. Get some Hot Pockets. And that's your new life.
So the good thing about it is that you will get to go to a big house and it'll be free.
So she starts telling this guy, who she's obviously used this guy many times before, because there seems to be some sort of, you know, back history in terms of the many houses she's been in. He seems to, like, know her. So she starts saying, like, yeah, we're really downsizing because of this whole legal case. And, like, there's, like, a $2 million retainer for the legal. And so we're downsizing to put our money into the retainer and fighting that. So she's just trying to get a free move so badly.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that's the thing. When you're seen on camera, you get some kind of discount for your business, right? And she's moved 9 zillion times. So this guy's like, uh-huh. They're just nodding at her. And she's like, I mean, I hate packing, even if it's just for a trip. Like, even if I'm going to Hawaii, which I love, I hate packing. It sucks. Packing sucks. So the mover's like, okay, lady, what we're going to do is we're going to decide what we're going to do and what you're going to do. And we're going to kind of establish those expectations today so you don't put a brick through my windshield and scream that I killed your soul and that I'll die in the fiery pits of hell like you did when we moved you 2 weeks ago. Remember that? Remember that?
So they go through, like, a walkthrough of the house, and he's like, okay, cool. So this is, like, the same deal as we always have. Cool, cool. And they go through everything, and then they go into the closet. And then she has, like, 3 boxes there. And she goes, look, we even got a few boxes to cut down on costs. I'm like, congratulations, you got 3 boxes. That'll be a pillow and 5 glasses you can fit in there.
She's like, I think we're going to put things in these boxes. What about that? He's like, now, are you? Are you going to put things in 3 boxes and then slash our tires and threaten to cut off our balls and feed them to us like you did when we moved you 6 weeks ago?
Okay, I just can't do it. I can't do it.
So they give her an estimate of between $8,000 and $10,000, and she's just so mad because she was just angling so hard for that free moving. She's like, let me remind you, I'm going to spend $2 million, and I'm going to be poor and destitute. How could you do this to me? How could you do this? $8,000 to $10,000, ma'am.
Yeah.
$8,000 to $10,000.
And she's like, you know, packing to downsize, I mean, that's depressing, and I'm acting like, you know, I'm okay, and I'm being really strong. I know, everybody. I know. But it hurts. Like, yeah, Jen, just been holding it in this whole time.
Yeah. Yeah, a vision of restraint, Jen Shaw. So she's like,
I'm just really scared. Is this the last everything I have with my family this year?
I mean, I'm the person that takes care of my entire family. I'm so selfless. What's gonna happen? What's gonna happen if like something happens to me? This is why I can't sleep at night. This is what keeps me up. My own good deeds keep me up late at night.
Well, I'm glad something's keeping you up at night. I mean, Jesus, it's a little misplaced, but at least it's something, you know?
I'm about to be as poor as the people I kind.
So she's like, we'll try and pack as much as we can ourselves so we can get that price down. Maybe we can have a yard sale. The mover's like, none of your neighbors go to yard sales, ma'am. Okay.
Oh, look, I've got a box of great things for the yard sale. Let's see. This is a deed to a house of some old lady in Pennsylvania. This is a deed for an old man in Pennsylvania.
I've got some dentures here. They just came with a note that said, please leave me alone. They're cute.
Okay, so now is the important part, Ronnie. This is where we have, in my mind, a very non-Salt Lake City interstitial piece by Trixie Monocle. It's almost like they got their tracks mixed up. They got like Trixie was like submitting for some other sultry reality show, and then somehow it wound up on Salt Lake City because we're seeing the usual panoramic shots of Utah, and the music's like, and then we see a shot of a statue of Jesus, and Trixie goes like this. Ah! I was like, what is happening here on Salt Lake City on this finale?
I know. You see Jesus, you get a new pop song entitled Ooh Yeah.
Ooh yeah. Ooh yeah.
No.
It was like Samantha Fox was doing the music.
I need ha 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 ha.
Yeah, or at least give us a throwback to like their glory song of season one.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
So next up is Heather doing a memorial for her father in the park. Mm-hmm. And so she's putting up some floral arrangements and stuff and then having it reset. She's like, I want this reset so that when people see the speaker, who's going to be here? I want the background to be the mountains and the snow.
You know, yeah, she wants that. And so I was going to try to make a joke about how like the mountains were crying and it'd be appropriate for a memorial, but I really couldn't get there, Ronnie. I couldn't do it. So moving on.
Crying mountain jokes aren't easy.
It turns out they're not easy. And I was like, maybe I can make a joke about snow caps, the candy. Couldn't do that either. You know, it's hard. It can be really hard to find a lot of humor in a memorial service. But anyway.
Well, haven't been to enough.
That's true. I guess I haven't seen Weekend at Bernie's in a long time. So Heather's dad died. You know, we've been hearing a lot about her dad. I don't think I realized or remembered that her dad actually died only a year ago during the pandemic. And so they hadn't had a chance to gather until this moment. So all of Heather's family is arriving, and I can't tell who's who because everyone looks the same, because there's like a Tyler and there's a Casey and there's like a Casey Tyler and a Kyler and a Tacey. And I'm just like, I don't know who's who. I'm just going to call them all Billy.
So she tells us there were quite a few people I invited that didn't show up today. There's my sister, my brothers, and my mom. I mean, Nancy hasn't even seen my dad since she was 16, but she still refused to come to the memorial. And I think she did that out of loyalty to the family who took a stand and refused to participate because my mom told them that my dad was rolling in his grave, and rolling is very serious sin in the Mormon church. Okay, you cannot roll with someone until you've been married a long time. You have to wait to get your planet to start rolling, basically.
Steve Winwood, his albums have actually been banned in the Mormon community because he has a song called Roll With It.
Now, I know that we're all supposed to like be on our housewives side and like hate the family for this, but maybe they just didn't want to come on TV for a televised monologue by you framed perfectly in the mountains. I mean, they probably just don't want to go on TV.
You know what? I was watching the scene and I was like, man, those family members are so cruel. And then I was like, Ronnie's going to say, How about you don't have it on TV? Like, I knew, like, you did exactly. I was like, I know what's going to happen. I'm going to be like, yeah, that's so mean. I'm going to be the one that gets, like, you know, I'm easily manipulated. I'm like, yeah, wow, Heather's right. And you're like, yeah, well, how about you don't put it on TV? How about you don't air your family's dirty laundry on TV? And then maybe they'll show up.
Yeah, I mean, look, you've been on camera and dissing their religion and basically calling them brainwashers. Now, am I saying that you're wrong? No, of course I'm not. But I can see why your mother would be like, yeah, I don't think I really want to go to your version of a memorial service on TV. I mean, what are you going to be, you know, in a jock strap? You know, like having your little friend slash cousin sliding down poles. Like, how godless have we gotten at this point?
Here comes one right now. I also was sad that Nancy wasn't there because, you know, when they show her, when Heather's like, well, Nancy didn't come because she's going to show loyalty to the part of the family that's like standing up for whatever. And they just cut to Nancy being like, fuck them. You know, I want the Nancy to come and be like, yeah, you know what? Fuck this whole family. All right. I live in Denver. I live in Vail now. Okay. That's what the real life is like. Fuck you all. Nancy's out.
And Heather turns it around to like, Nancy didn't come because she must have taken my mother's side against me. You know, it's like such a housewife's thing. No,
I thought she was the way I interpreted this multi-layered scene was that Nancy was taking a stand about like, no, I was rejected. Why should I have to come crawling back to be like, you know, to celebrate
someone? Well, what she said was, I think she did that out of loyalty to the family who took a stand and refused to participate because my mom told them that my dad was rolling in his grave. So Heather's saying she thinks her sister Nancy didn't come because of the mom or whatever.
Wow. Well, I guess we'll just have to wait till season three to get to the bottom of that.
Yeah, I can't believe we're still talking about this scene. So Heather is, you know, she does her spiel about how, like, we're on an island of misfit toys. We're each other's only friends because we've been kicked out of the church.
Yeah, and, you know, she I mean, it's actually still an emotional scene. And, you know, she was talking about how, like, this was hard because she was questioning her place in the Mormon church or if it should really be her future. And then her dad died and she's just, you know, there's a lot of emotions that swirled around her. And the last time she spoke to her dad was at Christmas, and then he died in April, and things had been strained because she'd been very public, i.e. on a television show, sort of bashing the church.
And she said, you know, we have this phrase that there's no empty chairs because in heaven, everybody's going to be around the table. And if he could see my life right now, would he think that in heaven, there's going to be an empty chair where I'm not at? And I'm like, well, first of all, your father is a Les Miserables fan because it's very empty chairs at empty tables. And flitty, flitty, flitty. Second, my family does not have this like, hey guys, see you in heaven. My family has like, well, I'll be in heaven. Where will you be? Like, I'll miss you on this planet because I sure ain't seeing you in heaven.
Listen, this is what I got to say. Bridge chairs, okay? You can fold them up. If someone doesn't show up, fold them up, put it in the closet. Then you're all good. You're all good.
Or just like this memorial service, don't have enough chairs at all, you know? So if they do come, they can just stand the whole time anyway.
Yeah, that's how musical chairs works, okay? If you had the right number of chairs, there's no game, okay? What's the matter? What's happening? What's going on? Bethany's explaining the afterwards. Okay, here's what you got. You got too many chairs. You got too many chairs at your table, okay? The reason why you're worried, the reason why you're sad that there's no one in the chair. It's because you got too many chairs. Why do you have so many chairs? Okay. It's called a five top. Why do you got six chairs at the five top?
Oh, really? You don't got a reservation for me here in Mormon heaven? Because you have so many empty chairs. So.
So, so anyway, so then they all sing together, and then they go over to have a picnic, and they're all hanging out at the picnic, and one of the women who's at the party, like, I don't know, it's a sister, I'm assuming, tells Heather that the mom showed up. And they're like, did you see the mom? Did you see our mom? Mom's here. Or actually, it was the brother who said that. Again, Billy said it. Billy said mom showed up. And we see, like, a quick clip of, like, Billy greeting the mom. And Heather's like, I didn't see that. I would have liked to have seen that. And, like, she's like, well, mom didn't want to interrupt the flow. And she goes, well, then you attend the event. I mean, you don't show up midstream and make it about you. You saw it. You still disapprove.
Yeah, she's like, she just didn't approve. That's what it was. Just show up and make it all about you. I was like, actually, this entire memorial service was about you. But I think that you're allowed to kind of make it about you when someone else dies and you're giving the speech, you know? Like, if somebody dies, you shouldn't have to be like, well, here's what they were great at. You're supposed to be like, here's what I was great at that they appreciated. Like, wow. You know, Johnny really loved when I would sing Les Miserables during recaps. So I'd like to take this moment.
Empty chairs and empty tables.
Those for you, Eddie.
But also, I don't think the mom made it about her because, like, literally Heather didn't even know she was there until someone told her way afterwards. So,
yeah, and we see a clip of the mom getting, like, parking and getting out of the car and the brother coming to hug her. And my imagination is just a mom type thing to say, like, I don't want to bother you guys. I don't want to cause any trouble. I just wanted to stop by and say I love you. Okay, it's great you're doing this. Bye.
Yeah, I mean, like, hello, that's what having a mom is. Like, isn't that, like, the mom thing is that a mom... It's like, I don't want to cause any trouble and leaves. Like that. Well, I guess certain moms, I should say. There's different categories of moms. It's definitely not my mom. But I feel like I imagine Heather's mom does this all the time. Like I imagine when Heather's mom goes to like McDonald's, she's like, I'll just get some chicken fingers. I don't want to disturb you. Like, ma'am, who ordered the chicken fingers? I think the lady, she's in her car. She doesn't want to disturb you.
Ma'am, would you like that value meal super size?
Oh, if you know, if it's not too much trouble, if it is fine. You know what? Just charge me the 79 cents anyway, and you do what you want to do.
Ma'am, are you going to take your food? No, you know, you have it. You have it.
So, yeah, who knows? I mean, I'm just putting a lot on her mother that I don't really know. But
no, I'm just at this point, I'm just like thinking about like, stereotypes of Midwest moms, and I'm just having fun with it because that's like my favorite thing.
Really? Because I'm wondering like what flavors of chicken nugget sauce are out now. I'm like, I wonder how much those have changed since I've had a chicken nugget. Don't answer that, sir.
McDonald's is doing some weird thing where they're like remixing. They're doing like
no. I said, don't answer it.
Here's something to purge that idea out of your mind. Salt Flats.
Okay, let's go to a bunch of cars in the middle of snow about to crash through and kill everybody involved.
Yeah, I'm in. Suddenly this show turns into some like pickup truck commercial, you know, because pickup truck commercials are like, you like this pickup truck? Well, wait till you see how it drives the middle of a big flat surface with no civilization nearby. It's like, I'm going to buy it. So we see like,
oh my God, that reminds me of my favorite audition song. Ford is the best in Texas. Sir, we just need 8 bars, okay? Da 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 da. Ford is the best in Texas.
Like a rock. I want my car to be like a rock, okay? It's Meredith shopping for a pickup truck. I want a truck, man. It's gonna be like a rock. So anyway, it is a Meredith scene, actually, because we see this random car commercial, and then we see a close-up on a director's chair that says, Meredith Marks.
Okay, so let me change my position for this Meredith scene.
Yeah, get so, into this. You got it. This requires a totally different... You're on the hotel bed, I'm assuming, right?
I'm on the hotel chair, which is surprisingly deep. I don't know. It's for people who like to sit on chairs where the entire chair goes up until like where your knee bends. You know, it's one of those. Oh, yeah. So she's like, I'm so excited for everything. So listen, photographer gay. I don't want to assume you're gay. I'm saying that because you actually have the title photographer gay. So photographer gay, listen, here's what I want. I want to get single pictures and double pictures. And then sometimes maybe with other people in the picture.
He's like, so... take pictures of everyone here.
Yes, that's what I want.
I really want to showcase the jewelry by having it upstage with very flashy satin pajama type suits, okay? So they're doing a photo shoot for her jewelry, and this photographer, please listen to him. He just shot the 2021 line of Gerber baby food cans. So he's going to have a great eye for getting Brooksy.
We've come out with jewelry for toddlers and eyeshadow for toddlers. So let's make sure that gets showcased.
If we get makeup on these suits, we are in trouble.
So Brooke starts in a pink sweatsuit with a pink snowflake sweater thing, and then he changes into a green silk suit that I think that Meredith has worn before. I could have sworn I've seen her in this.
Meredith has definitely worn some of this, like, satin, I don't know, shiny happy fabric,
or as I like to call it, Amazatine. It's like from Amazon.
It sort of reminds, like, I kind of feel like you could just take all this fabric and just hang it on a wall, and you've, like, now created a junior prom, you know?
Yes, on Easter, yeah, because that's around Easter time. Yeah.
It's like Mylar. I just remember my junior prom, just like, let's wrap the gym in Mylar, and that's kind of what this looks like.
Yeah. So she's like, people have this vision that my jewelry is only for women. And I said, never. I'm never coming out with jewelry for men, because my jewelry already is for everybody. So.
Well, as you can tell, especially people who wear satin pajamas that may actually be day wear. So she's like, well, I got in touch with GLAAD so I could raise money for GLAAD. So
love gay people. I mean, look how many trash bags they've brought.
she contacted the wrong GLAAD.
I called the good people of GLAAD and said, we want you to donate some looks for this photo shoot. So they didn't know what to do. So apparently they dyed a bunch of their trash bags and turned them into pajamas, and that's what we're wearing.
So she's still on about, we've had a few tough months with all the drama that went down between Jen and Brooks. My son has been going down a lot on his journey. Did I get that sentence mixed up? Well, wherever the journey leads him, even if he's on his knees by the time he gets there, I wish him my own best.
My son is on the bottom of a very long journey that he will be taking up.
With my jewelry, I told him, Brooksy, you are no longer going to have to swallow your pride.
So they're doing poses, and Brooks is one of the models, of course, and he's got his hand over his face, like, blocking the sun. So his pose is like, ew, sun. And they're like,
perfect, ew, we've sun. Got it.
And the sister Chloe is like, this feels kind of sexual, I'm not really into it. And then Brooks is like, well, we don't have to be siblings in the photos, because he's sort of like kind of grabbing her, and she's like, ew. She's like, yeah. Stop it.
So then we get a lot of pictures, and I love photographer things to say when pictures are happening. He's like, okay, you know what? Let's see one where you're like, take the rope around you and then, like, do a tying thing. Like, maybe you're going to tie it. Yeah, yeah. Like that, like, kind of tying. Oh my God. Keep doing that. Keep doing that. It's just like this mid kind of, well, am I tying it or am I not? No, just kind of tying it. All right. Well, is it, I don't know. Was it going to be tying? Just kind of tying it, I said.
I feel like it all kind of reminded me of, like, those, like, year 2000 music videos. I feel like they were all on, like, a Salt Flat. Like, I have some, am I incorrect? Wasn't there, like, a Maya video, like, Case of the X? Wasn't that, like, on a Salt Flat? Can it be on a Salt Flat? That's where it exists in my mind. I'm, like, imagining Maya coming out, like, dun, 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 dun. And then Meredith is art directing Seth. She's, you just hear her going, no, 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 Seth, no, no.
Oh. And she says, well, I think that GLAAD is so important, supporting the LGBTQBHNRY, the lesbian, gay, bi, trans, don't question Brooks, he's not ready, organization.
organization .. organization. And I like, and by the way, like, you know, our obviously our big joke with Yolanda is that like there's Gigi and the other one, but I'm glad that that joke like has found new life with Meredith Marks, because she's like, I'm so glad I was able to be here with Seth and Brooks and that girl who looks like Brooks, who I think came out of me at some point in my life. I'm just so glad to celebrate with my entire family and the other one.
So she's talking about how to her equality is never having to come out. And I guess I can maybe see how that could be nice. Like, you know, we're living in, when we live in a world where it doesn't matter if you're gay or straight or anything like that. But yeah, I don't really know where she's going with that. But otherwise, how are you going to know who you get to fuck in a bar? You know, like things need labels. OK, you can't just open a bottle and drink mouthwash because then you'll fall over because it was really Drano. You need a label. OK, I need them. I need them. I'm old.
More importantly, gays need drama. And if you deprive us of the drama of coming out, you are taking away our livelihood. You can't just like say to someone, oh, guess what? You can't have a story for the rest of your life about how you came out and your mother fainted.
Yes, that's like our sweet 16.
Like, do you know how like important those stories are for us gays to be like, oh my God, when I came out, my entire family did not talk to me for 6 years. Ah, but everything's fine now.
Yeah, we need those stories. Also, it's 2022, and this is a time of labeling everything, so I think you're just a little too far ahead in your thinking, maybe.
It also means that you're taking away our ability to like dance to Diana Ross, I'm Coming Out, because then it's like, oh, that song no longer means anything to our community.
Yeah, now it just means, like, I'm going outside.
It's literally a song about location.
Yeah, it's like, I'm sick of watching Netflix, you know. Okay, so he is wearing like, or she is wearing like a pit, her eyeshadow is like when pit bulls have pink eye, you know. I don't know, it didn't make me want to buy a ring, but you know, good for her.
Commercials, here comes one right now.
Yeah. So then we get sexy music, which means it must be a Whitney scene.
Oh, yeah. And we knew that this was going to be horrific because we just see like 1,000 birds flying away from her house right before. Like, uh-oh, the birds know something's up. The birds were about to attack and the birds were like, nope, going to a different place.
Birds just have that bird sense when they know they're about to hear Justin's fupa slapping up against something. They're like, get me out.
The birds are like, all right, everyone. They're like the Jonestown birds. They're like, let's find a windmill and end this all for us. They're like, hail Bob Comet's coming and his name is Justin. Please, let's go to a windmill. Let's we've seen too much. This is a bird cult. Suicidal bird cult.
So sexy music. Whitney's walking around in a terrible thog bathing suit, setting a table, and Justin's like, I'm glad that you feel so confident in your body, but please don't make me get naked on national television. Please.
I know. Please. So Whitney's like, this last year has been very difficult. Now that I've gotten through the rebrand because I turned the M from Milo to a W for Whitney Rose, I want to reprioritize my life.
So she's like, you have sacrificed a lot for me to rebrand. Pop, that was the champagne. Wow, that champagne sure came quick. Get up in there, you sexy beast.
She's pouring champagne on her boobs for him to like motorboat / suction it out, which he does. But like, it's all happening and there's like a kiddie basketball hoop in the background. I'm like, why does this not feel very sexy to me? Like, no joke, there literally was a basketball hoop, like an indoor kiddie basketball hoop.
Okay, I need to calm down. I was like, this episode is stupid. When the word too, I'm going to talk.
Too aroused by Justin.
No, I'm just giggling too much. Okay, so let's see here. So she's like, it is no secret that we've been in a, damn it.
Okay, just keep going, keep going. We'll fix it in post-its. I want us to go back to how we used to be. No more robotic sex. Now we are going to have fun sex. Come here, tiger.
So they go up to their room, and Whitney's like,
I need you to take off your shoes, your pants, and your shoes. No, your shirt and your pants. No, shirt and shoes. Put a jacket on. No, how does this work?
So they strip, and she pulls out this poster thing that she lays down on the bed, and she's like,
guess what we're doing?
He's like, the love is art thing?
The love is art thing.
So I guess they bought some kit that you're supposed to do when you're in a rut, and these two are going to be broken up within a year.
I give them
2 years.
This is so terrible, and Whitney's like,
you know, my work-life balance is still in evolution, especially since it's mainly just life and not work. But that's still out of balance.
So then Justin takes off his shirt, and I'm like, this is not for us right now. And
this, nobody needs this, okay? And then she's dancing around. She's got on pasties, and then they start putting this paint or whatever all over, and then she bends him over on the bed. Or no, he bends her over on the bed, and he spanks her, and she's like,
ah. And he goes,
God, exactly. If it wasn't for this, this would have been one long FF scene. So I don't know how you guys felt out there. I don't need this, okay? I don't need this.
I wanted to go back to Mulligan's. I was like, take me back to Mulligan's so I can watch Mary and Robert Jr. play golf, please.
I thought there was something in my throat. It was my own penis rejecting the world so badly that it punched all the way back into my body and hit me in the throat.
I wanted to go back into the closet, just an actual physical closet, and never come out again. So then we got something which I don't know why it took. I feel like we have to name this piece of music, and I don't know why we have not named it earlier, because it's every episode. I'm gonna call it the Baby Gorgeous theme, which is like the classic you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
it's like the upbeat, okay, like daytime in Salt Lake City theme.
Okay, so that's the Baby Gorgeous theme now. Yeah. So Jack, who is wearing a t-shirt with like two sexy ladies back to back, you know, like on semi-trucks, how they have the mud flappers with that lady. So it's two of those ladies. Yeah, sitting back to back. Man, I hope that lady trademarked this, because her boobs have been all over the country. Okay, and still are. So I hope she's making some damn residuals.
Yeah.
So he's wearing that, and the shirt says something like, Kappa. Yeah, it says Kappa. With two naked legs. Yeah. So then I don't really understand.
Great ode to a Greek letter.
What letter is it?
Kappa. It's a Greek letter, Kappa. Like Kappa, Kappa, Gamma. It's a sorority.
Okay. Okay. So Lisa's like, so Jack, which dress would you pick out of this one or that one? He's like, whichever covers you up more, Mom.
I love that. So then we go over to Jen. She's getting into glam, and she's talking about how this Vita Tequila party is going to be at the Vita Tequila food court, and it's going to have an 80s and 90s vibe, which, you know, is sort of like the show in general. And then we go to Jenny picking out her dress. This is, you know, this is like a thing that happens on Real Housewives shows in general, but we're seeing a lot tonight of like moms asking their little kids for dress advice. I don't think I need to see this anymore. I think it's it annoys me. I don't think that the kid ever has any impact on the decision, and it's supposed to make us think the kid is precocious or something. I don't know if I need to see little kids picking out dresses for their moms anymore.
Yeah, I think it's like trying to give your kid autonomy. You know what I mean? Like, wow, look, you can choose an outfit, you know, that isn't just a diaper on your head and, you know, a paper towel around your boobs. Because, you know, when you tell a kid they can choose their own outfit for school, it never ends well. So why would you ask them to choose one for you? You know, they just shit themselves.
Yeah, I think it's like trying. I think it's every time it happens, it's always the mom trying to make their kid a star on Bravo. And it doesn't really ever work. It's usually the same kind of like sassy response. Like, don't wear that because it looks stupid. And the mom laughs like, you're too much. How about this? Ask the kid what kind of book they want to read. How about that?
Right. Well, and my parents went out all the time growing up. I mean, they were party animals. And my mom would do that. She'd be like, you want to help me pick out my dress? Because, of course, I was like, I mean, I didn't even know there was a closet back then, okay? I didn't need a closet to come out of. I was like, hello, world. My closet was a vagina that I came out of. I was like, hello. So, of course, I wanted to help her get dressed. But I don't think my opinion really mattered. And I figured out much later in life that the only reason she was asking me in the first place was to involve me in her ditching me for the night. So when I cried to the babysitter and said, call my mom could be like, but you wanted me to go out. You even picked out my outfit. You see? It's like manipulation. So I see this and I get a little triggered, you know, and filled with abandonment issues.
Oh, okay. Well, I was never asked about my opinion was never required for my mom's fashions. Or maybe it was, and I was just too busy whining about how I wanted another Nintendo game. So it could have really been either one of those things. Either way, Lisa and John, we now see them in one of those awful Vanderhall cars. Those, as first seen on Bravo with Kyle Richards driving to the supermarket with Portia, which still infuriates me because those cars, not only are they stupid, you can't even have groceries in them. So why would you even take them to the grocery store unless you just wanted to show off the fact that you have that car?
Yeah, I call those trigger. Kyle Richards cars.
Yeah.
And yeah, that was true. They went grocery shopping and then they came back out and they're like, wait a minute, where do we put the groceries? Oh my God. So
Lisa loves it though. She's like, it's the cutest little car. I'm obsessed.
Yeah, because this one says Vita Tequila. So this is their like Vita car, right?
I give it like a slight pass because if it's a car for marketing purposes, it's going to catch your eye. So it's like not as annoying to me as Kyle Richards taking one and bringing it to the supermarket, but still annoys me.
Yeah, and it's just not the best car to advertise alcohol. You know what I mean? It's like that is the unsafest car to drive after you've had some Vita Tequila. There's no cover. There's nothing on your head.
You really, yeah, yeah, it's...
it's the Vita Tequila, you're probably going to die tonight, car. Love that.
It's, yeah, it's not ideal. So they're driving around to the party, and she's like, and at one point she goes, train, and then a train comes by. And I just love the fact that she just, like, in this car, reverts to being 4 years old. Train.
Well, this is our debut of our Crystal Joint Bottles. I wanted this to be inspired by Mall 8, but on a luxury scale. So it's not Sabara, it's like Sabara. Sabara, love that.
I don't know what fancier bottles, like, I don't understand why launching a fancier bottle, like how that's linked to doing a food court. Also, this party didn't look like a food court, by the way. Just want to put that out there.
So there's arrivals and hugs, and she wanted people to dress 80s, but I hope they don't take it too literally and like come dress like Madonna.
She's making a big ask, wanting to find nuance in this theme. Like she's like, come 80s style, but not an 80s tribute.
Yeah.
That's hard.
I mean, Meredith Marks came to the last finale party looking like she had her face stuck against a diamond screen door. Okay. We're going to need clearer instructions.
She showed up literally looking like a bedazzled version of the creature from the abyss.
Yes. So John's like, wow. Whitney's like, hi, John. John, ha ha. Is this your rendition of the 80s? And he's just in like his normal J. Crew shirt that he wears in every episode.
And to be fair, Whitney's in her normal outfit, except she added a ponytail today.
Yeah, she added a really long ponytail that is not the same color as her hair. Whitney. Poor Whitney. Poor Whitney.
Heather's like, did anybody do a costume? And then Jenny is there. She goes, this is Whitney Houston, girl. And I'm like, no. There's... You're literally not Whitney Houston at all. I think she was trying to suggest that because Jenny had like sort of like big curls. So maybe she was suggesting that she was Whitney Houston in the I Want to Dance with Somebody video where Whitney had the big curls. But even then, she didn't really. I was like, just because you have curly hair doesn't mean that doesn't make it Whitney Houston. How dare you on the 10-year close to anniversary of her death?
Yeah, this is not the time, Jenny. All right.
No. So, do not invoke Miss Whitney Houston into your scene.
Jen comes in a Chanel turban, which I kind of liked because, you know, my 80s is Soap Dish. Or early, I mean, that was early, yeah, 90s, early 90s, right? So,
yeah,
that was my 80s with Sally Field and Soap Dish and her, Donnie, why am I in a goddamn fucking turban? I feel like Gloria fucking Swanson.
This is Tawny, your new, hi, nice to meet you. David. She was the original David before Shannon Bador.
David. By the way, let's see how long it takes me to get kicked out of this hotel room. I'm just screaming and yelling.
So Jen, she shows up and she's like, "Do my legs look tan? Do they look tan?" And Lisa's like, "They look skinny and fabulous." So then Meredith, what?
Oh, I was just going to say, production's like, okay, guys, it's the season finale where we want a huge fight. So let us show you to the set of the teeny tiny couch we've gotten for you all to sit down on. Because that's their thing on this show. They're like, maybe if we sit them on a teeny tiny couch, they'll fight.
They'd love on this show putting the cast in a sort of like empty room with like a few tables and white walls and a small couch. I feel like we've been on this set a few times this season.
And now that I said it, I think it was the same couch. I'll bet if we went back and looked, it's that same tiny white couch. They just have some poor production assistant drive around with for every party.
It's just Jen's couch. She's just like fooling the production into moving it for her so she doesn't have to pay the movers.
Yeah. I moved that couch myself, so I'm only paying you guys $100.
So they're talking about like, is Meredith coming? And like, yeah, Meredith's supposed to be coming. And then we cut to like a black SUV of doom. This like foreboding car driving down the street, and it's Seth and Meredith in the back, and Seth is wearing a white blazer and a Reagan Bush t-shirt, and he's like, so are you looking forward to seeing everybody? And she's like, well, it depends on how everybody behaves. If everyone's nice, sure. If everyone's mean, then I'm going back to my baby at home.
So Lisa's like, you know what? I'm just so badass. I'm out of stamina. Like, we've been friends for so long. And I just, guys, I think something's going on with her. Do you think something's going on with her? Because, of course, they've decided they're going to attack Meredith tonight. So hilarious. It's like, haven't you had enough, you know? But they're going to go again. And Heather, of course, is like, yes, yes, there's definitely something going on. We need to talk to her.
Well, I would love to talk to her, but of course, what happens if my mother shows up and watches and then goes away? And I mean, it'll all be ruined. So,
everybody, just stop for a second. Heather's mom has just stopped by and said hi to everybody. Don't worry, she left. She left. Just wants to make sure you're all okay.
Did anyone see an old lady with a crimped hair? That was Heather's mom just popping in and leaving.
So Heather's mad. Because Lisa's saying that she wants to make up with Meredith. So Heather's like, oh, so they're just going to be the best friends and everything's just fine?
It's like, yes, actually.
Yeah, that's called maintaining a friendship.
So that's how you support like a friend's event while you're mad at them. So Meredith comes in and Meredith and Lisa are all nicey-nicey and everything. Hi! And Heather's like, I am over this land of make-believe with these two. It feels like they're never going to get to the real issues. They continue to look the other way. It feels like the friendship that never was. Honestly.
And Lisa's like, oh my god, I'm glad you're here. I love you. It's so beautiful. Meredith marks everybody. Meredith marks the original Cinnabon. All right, everybody. So Mary comes in.
I saw myself as a Wetzel's Pretzels, but that's fine.
If anyone is a Cinnabon in this group, it's me, and I'm not a Paul. It's like, okay, Heather, you've already given one monologue today. Please have a seat.
So there's like drinks coming, and Mary shows up, and Heather's joking around, saying she has a crush on all the husbands, especially Justin. Oh, because she's now talking to Justin. She's like, I have especially Justin. And Justin's like, well, we could be cousins. You never know. And she's like, well, we do have the same build, you know?
So let's see here. This is party note, so I'm getting a little confused. John's like, hey, Sharif, come over here, Sharif. Sharif, I want you to meet my friend Scott. Scott lives across the street from me.
and Scott consoles me whenever anything's wrong. Scott, take it away.
It's like, what kind of intro is that? It's like, Sharif, your whole life is breaking down. Come meet the person who helps me, the neighbor Scott. Scott, any kind of advice you'd like to give to Sharif, whose life is going down the toilet right now? Go ahead, Scott. You can do it.
I feel bad. I feel like I didn't even commit Scott to my notes.
It cracked me up. Scott's just like, well, Sharif, coach, what a great honor, first of all, to meet you, sir. Second of all, life can get tough sometimes. What I'd suggest is setting a timer for the sprinklers. One less thing to worry about. You're welcome, brothers in heaven. Okay.
So then we see Mary, who's just standing alone, and she's like, why do I not know anyone here? And then she just starts smiling because John comes up. She's like, hi, John. It's just, there's nothing really inherently interesting about that moment. But
well, it's just how Mary walks in, you know? She walks in like everybody's supposed to come up to her and lift her up and like do a production number around her. She always walks in and stands there like, so no one's going to say hi to me. Okay, this is great.
Yeah, she probably gets hit by like revolving doors a lot. It's sort of like that one moment in Big Business when Bette Midler walks into the plaza and she's like, wow. And then the door just like slams her, because that's Mary just walks in and plants, you know?
Yes. Like, Mary, or she's the lady. She's the lady in line when you're in line, and she's the one you always have to say, oh, ma'am, you can move up. You can move up now.
She is so that person. She's the person at when you're in line at TSA and the line's been forward and she's on her phone, and like if she does move up, she's like kicking her bag along the floor like, ma'am, close the gap, please.
So Whitney is like doing sexy dancing and doing shots with Justin, and Justin hands her a shot and she goes, ew, that's water. He goes, yeah, that's a good thing, Whitney.
No, it wasn't water. She goes, that wasn't water. I just chased tequila with tequila.
Oh. So Mary and Seth are talking at the bar, and Mary's like, oh, don't worry about me. I think there's water over there. I think there's water over there. He goes, they've got water? Come on, you guys got water. All right, you know what we need? I want a water cold enough to switch this chick's chakras up, because that's what we're talking about today.
I literally, his voice, it drives me nuts. And then the producer asks Mary, like, why aren't you ordering Vita? And she goes, I feel like her tequila tastes like water. And it didn't have anything flavorful. It's like, it's just like Lisa. It's like just blah. And then it puts a weird taste in your mouth at the end of the day. It's like, okay. I need her to write restaurant reviews. Food was stupid. I didn't like it. It was like, what's the point? Didn't have taste.
So Seth's like, you know what? Put a lime in that to distinguish which one's Mormon and which one's not Mormon. Okay. Yeah.
And then Lisa starts giving a tour, starts talking about the buffet options. She's like, well, we have amazing churros, and this is pizza, and we have these amazing Chinese eats, and some chopsticks, and the stir fry. Yeah, it's like an entire food court, but it's really just buffet shavers.
Yeah, way to just throw a cheap ass party, basically.
It's my theme, food court.
It's like, it was $5.
Angie should have canceled the caterers on her.
I know, I'm surprised she didn't. I know. Damn, so she's just like, sorry, but the mall has closed, so.
So Heather's like, well, I have been eating from all five countries represented here. And Meredith goes, yeah, I had a slider and that's all I've had so far. And then is it Heather who just starts basically like, you didn't have it with bread, right? You had it. She's like, no, I had my slider wrapped in a piece of lettuce and then I gave it to Seth. I actually didn't eat it at all.
Yeah, Heather's like slider shaming her. She's like, she really was. I'll bet you didn't have any bread. You probably had it with butter and maybe some lettuce, something like that. Maybe a pickle. Maybe, are there sugar? Is there sugar in pickles?
It's true. It's true. That is what I did eat. Well, you know, Brooksy's barely on solids. So out of solidarity, I don't want to have too many solids. Don't want to make him feel ashamed that he needs half of his food.
mixed up in a blender, which I still don't even know how to use.
So, Jenny, this is the favorite part of the episode for me, because Jenny is at the bar doing her, like, soap opera. She keeps turning around and looking at Mary and then slapping her head the other way, like, ah! And then she tries it again. She, like, looks at Mary, and then she moves her head again. And, like, Mary's not paying her any damn attention. Jenny is such a fucking try-hard.
Yeah, I mean, and Jenny tells us, you know, common decency is that when you see someone that you know, you say hi and you greet that person. And Mary, you just don't have any common decency or common sense. Girl, am I invisible to your eyes? Girl. Like, you know what, Jenny, like, relax. There's actually, honestly, there's like no good reason for Mary to go up to Jenny, because Jenny has actually been so rude to Mary. I mean, admittedly, Mary said racially problematic things, which I think is informing some of Jenny's behavior. But also, Jenny has, like, it seemed like they had kind of, like, squashed that, and they had, like, moved forward. And, you know, I just remember, like, I think the last episode or two episodes ago, when Jenny is like, do you consider me a friend? And Mary's like, no, I don't. So at that point, like, what do you want, Jenny? She doesn't like you. She literally doesn't like you. Stop wanting her to come up and say hi to you. She's been very honest that she just doesn't like you.
Also, you're standing right there. So common decency would suggest that you could go up and say hi. You're seeing someone you know, right?
Yeah.
So she's all pissed off, but she is just determined to have a fight. She's going to do whatever she can to try and get Mary mad so she can turn around and say, oh, look how angry Mary is. You know, it's like classic housewives, and it's not going to work. And I love that Mary does not let it work. You know,
yeah.
Mary is not right this season. Okay, she's not. She's wrong. But man, you put up so many bigger assholes that you're actually, I mean, I'm in this one. I'm like, I'm Team Mary. Sorry.
We should not be, like, I feel like there's really no world where I should ever, like, I should be supporting Mary. I mean, she's like a cult leader. She said, she did say racially problematic things, and she didn't really seem to appreciate or understand why they were. She didn't seem to really get it. And yet, I'm still oddly like, you know what? She says she doesn't like you. Like, what do you want? What do you want? Okay? What do you want from her?
So then Seth and Dewey are talking, and Seth is like, wow, you're wearing a double-breasted suit. Didn't Arsenio wear a double-breasted back in the day? Bro, fist bump, bro.
So then Sharif's talking to Mary, and he's like, well, your timing was impeccable to allow my wife to visit the church, because the people visited her and they were very sweet to her and they were so kind to her. They were so kind to my little wife. And Mary's like,
well, I mean, they passed her a whole hat full of cash. I mean, that was the nicest thing anyone's done for Jen in a long time.
They gave us some cardboard boxes, you know?
Jen just took the collections. So Mary's just nodding, and he's like, well, you know, you're being really kind to her. And she's like, you know why? Because the people at my church, they follow the lead, okay? They're kind because I tell them to be kind, okay? And he's like, yeah, okay. And he's looking at her like, wow, this lady's more off her rocker than I even thought, right? So he goes, yeah, the love. You know, it was the love. She goes, I have love. I forgive. I don't wobble, okay? I don't wobble in pain. I forgive and I move on. And to all wobblers, I say, get crutches. No wobbling in here. I hate wobbling.
I don't wobble and hurt. Do I wallow in hurt? Do I wallow in pain? Maybe. But what I don't do is I don't wobble in them. I don't wobble in them.
Do I waffle in my faith? Occasionally. But wobblers are not welcome.
And as she's talking about how she forgives and how she's very forgiving and she doesn't, you know, I think I'm assuming she means that she doesn't wallow in these emotions.
Yeah. Whitney, she's like, I forgive and I move on. And he's like, good. Can I send you an invitation to sit on a jury? Would that be?
So then Whitney appears by Mary's side, and Whitney's like, can you come talk to me? And she's like, oh God, why, Whitney? Like, in right on the heels of her saying how much she forgives and moves forward, she's like, ugh, no.
But please, oh my God, Whitney, what, talk about what? And Sharif rubs her arm like, don't forget, you're against wobbling. So Mary's like, okay, first of all, you're not 100%. I can smell it. I smell it on your breath. And Whitney's like, we're at a tequila event. Of course you're going to smell tequila on my breath.
And she's like, well, I don't want to talk to you when you're not 100. She goes, but I want to talk to you. Can you please come talk to me, Mary? Please. About what?
I just want to talk to you, baby. Baby, please give me a chance. Talk to me.
So they finally go to the side and talk, and Mary's telling Gus, like, can I get a sober Whitney? My God. Like, she's never sober enough to even have a conversation, right? Which, I mean, she's got a point. So yeah. They sit down, and Whitney's like, Mary, I am sorry. I am sorry for talking about your church. And Mary goes, but why? Why'd you do it?
And she's like, I did not say anything that's already out there. I never dug. And Mary's like, well, my grandma used to say, it's not the people that say it, it's the people that carry it and believe it. I don't understand. Can you say that again? I wasn't
carrying
anything.
Shout out to my bellhops. Shout out to my bellhops, Mary. So Whitney's like, can I finish before you talk about hopping bells? I would not have done that had you not put me down first. And Mary just rolls her eyes. And she's like, don't roll your eyes. Don't roll your eyes, Mary.
And Mary is like, well, don't validate yourself, okay? Don't put me in a space I'm not. I'm not a mean person. And so meanwhile, Jen and Jenny are sitting right next to Whitney, which is not helpful at all. So when Mary says, I'm not a mean person, Jenny's like, oh, did Mary just say she's not a mean person? And Mary's like, yeah, like, don't come at me like I'm trying to come and hurt people. Like, I don't hurt people. Oh, it's okay to hurt me. It's okay to hurt me. It's like Jenny on the sidelines, just trying so hard to have a moment.
She's trying so hard. Like, she's yelling, and Whitney puts her arm up to block her, you know, because she's trying to, like, crawl over Whitney to fight with Mary on the couch. She's, like, crawling over. So Whitney puts up her arm, and she's like, wait, hold on a second. What I was saying was, in Vail. And then Jenny takes her arm, and she, like, puts it down. And she's like, hey, Mary, then why did you hurt me? If you don't like to hurt people, Mary, why did you hurt me? And Mary goes, oh, just shut up. And she goes, no, don't you tell me to shut up. Don't you tell me to shut up. And then she starts freaking out and losing her mind. God, Jenny, you are terrible at this. Despite all of the, whatever all of the other things that came out about this season that make you suck, as a housewife, without all of that, you fucking suck. Get off my TV.
It's interesting because Mary goes, okay, you getting hood on us. And she says that to Jenny. And Jenny does, that's clearly a trigger for Jenny. And now, especially with all the stuff that's come out after the season, that's like, it has an even broader context or a more significant context in terms of understanding Jenny. So she then really flips out about that. And she's like, did you just call me Jenny from the hood? Did you call me Jenny from the hood? Are you educated? What did you just say? Which is like, you know, obviously like very patronizing, but also, you know, there's like subtext there.
Also, she did not say you're Jenny from the hood. She said she it's getting hood in here, right?
Right.
So Jenny's like, what did you just say? What did you just say? Yelling. And Mary goes, oh my God, somebody please just get off this little ant. And she's did you say something, Mary? Say it to my face, Mary. Say it to my face. So Mary keeps trying to walk off, right? She keeps trying to walk away from the situation, and Jenny just keeps running over. So she walks off with Whitney. Jenny comes running over screaming, what did you just say? Say it to my face. And then they walk off again, and Jenny just looks at the camera like, really? Yeah. Like, they're the ones doing something wrong. Lady, you have a right to not speak to somebody. I'm sorry. Yeah. If somebody comes up yelling and screaming at me, I have the fucking right to walk away. What is wrong with this lady? And why did they allow her to do this?
And well, and Jenny came in trying to pick a fight. I mean, this is, as a viewer, this is a very difficult situation because, like you said before, Mary has done fucked up things and has said really fucked up things this season. And it's not an exoneration of that. It's not saying like we're cool with that if we're saying we're on her side. We're just saying in this specific fight. Like, it's like, Jenny, you're trying to force a moment. And then Jenny tells us, you're not going to walk away from me. Like, I don't matter. Don't look at me and say, I'm from the hood. You don't know what the hood is, Mary. You grew up in Utah. Like, Jenny, this is a losing argument for you.
Yeah. And she didn't say you're from the hood. You idiot. Yeah. So Jenny goes up to Whitney and Mary again, and she goes, You know what? I was in that conversation, and you were saying something, and I'd like you to repeat what you said. No one was fucking talking to you, lady.
Yeah.
And so Mary just goes, my God. And she goes, oh, don't do the oh my God, and then do your I thing that you do.
I think it's literally the most entitled that Mary has been to do the, oh my God, and an eye roll. Because it literally was like she was having a conversation with Whitney. Whitney was actually trying to apologize or like passive aggressively apologize. But there was a ham-fisted attempt at growth happening. And Jenny interrupted it to make it all about her.
Yeah, this is borderline assault at this point, just chasing her around. So Mary looks around, kind of laughing, because Jenny's obviously trying to get Mary to lose her cool, right? It's like a classic trick. And Mary's not, and she goes, well, I didn't sign up for you, which I thought was a very good answer. Like, when I agreed to be on this show, it was not to be with you, lady. Yeah. I'm not doing a scene with you. So Jenny freaks out and raises up her hand and starts, like, flapping her other arm, kind of hitting Whitney, because she's acting like, yeah, I'm going to go at her. I'm going to go at her. Yeah. And she actually hits Whitney, and she's like, oh, I'm sorry, Whitney. I really am sorry. I am really sorry. But I didn't sign up for you either, Mary.
Yeah, she goes, don't walk away. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about it. What did you say about me, Mary? What did you say about me? Why would she talk about it? Look, why would anyone want to try to have a conversation with you right now? And I mean, the truth is, you know, Jenny, I do believe that Jenny has actually tried a little bit harder to be friends with Mary than Mary has the other way around. And Mary has been like extremely closed off. Like she wouldn't even talk about her husband. But at that certain point, you then just have to accept it. Like, this is just not a friendship. Like, stop taking it so personally. Mary is like, like a whole other thing. Like, why are you chasing this friendship down, Jenny, in this ridiculous way?
People have the right not to like you, stalker. Okay? Yeah. People have the right not to like you. So she just keeps, and also, why would she want to talk? Well, you keep acting like you're coming at her physically. Like, she keeps, like, doing the, like, popping her head and her shoulders back. Like, come on, Mary. Come on. Why are you walking away, Mary? Say what you said to me. And Mary says something like, get rid of her. She's like, God, just get rid of her. And Jenny goes, you said I'm psycho? Which she did not say. And she's like, you said I'm psycho? Okay, now you say you're going to what? You're going to what? She said, I didn't say that. She's, then what did you say under your breath about me? So she walks off again. And so now Jenny's screaming across the whole party, run away! Run away, Mary! Which, yeah. I don't know what that was.
And then she like throws her glass down. She goes, because you don't have something to say, Mary. And by the way, Dewey's just like there in the background, not even trying to like be like, hey, honey, like calm down or whatever. He's not like trying to sort of like calm the frayed nerves of his loved one, which has me believing that she told him going into the night, like, I'm going to have a scene. Just you watch. So then she throws
the glass down. Also, she didn't just throw the glass down. She threw the glass at Mary. Like, it fell behind Mary, you know. But she didn't just drop the glass. She fucking threw a glass at Mary.
Yeah, and I think if Mary had done that, it would have been much more like, oh, my God, you know. So then Jen Shaw is like, Jenny, been there, done that. I think my glass went a little farther than yours, but that was cute. Like, well, to be fair, Leon Locken was the first one who did that kind of glass throw. Remember? Yeah. Carrie?
Yeah, up against the brick wall.
Against the trolley at the Winter Wonderland party, just like Dunkin' Donuts.
So, yeah, Jen's bragging about being like a maniac, too. And so Jenny's screaming, if you have something to say about me, then you say it to my face, which no one has anything to say about you or
she
to
actually
you.
Didn't
You're
say
lame.
Anything to you. She was talking to Whitney saying that she's like not trying. She doesn't try to come from a mean place. She wasn't gossiping about
you. You're lame, Jenny. You suck. You're a tryhard. No one likes you. Get away from our table. You can't sit with us. And then meanwhile, you've got ding dong. Yeah, empty chair.
Empty chairs at empty table. I hate that we're also put in this position where we're defending Mary, because it's not
I don't
a good
care.
Look.
Listen, it's defending each situation as it happens. And clearly they're trying to get Mary to do like some angry black woman thing. And it's not happening. Sorry, yeah. I'm really happy that Mary chose this route.
I am.
She's
too.
Like, fuck all these
really
bitches.
That's a really good point, and I agree.
So then she's refusing to engage. But then you've got Ding Dong Whitney. Now this is the other best part of the scene. Whitney just keeps following her around too. Every single time Mary walks off, Whitney just keeps coming right up to her and going,
but in fail. Okay, we're going to reshoot over there. Okay, the cameras are moving. Okay. Well, but in fail. Okay, we're moving again. Reset up. We're setting up a lot in fail.
And then it finally ends with Whitney never getting to have her scene. And you see her in the background with her hands on her hips, so mad. And she's just like, I'm not moving anymore. I'm staying with this camera. So she's just standing there alone with one cameraman waiting for someone to come fight with her.
Yeah. And Mary just runs away. And Mary's just like, you know, you're a maniac. You got a maniac on the loose. She's throwing glass. She says, I've never gotten glass thrown at me from no one. And the fact that no one even cared was too much. Makes you wonder who are your friends and who's not.
Yeah, so then Jenny is yelling at Whitney now. She goes up to Whitney and she goes, I can't believe you were saying fucking sorry to her and trying to talk to her. She's just going to do it again, Whitney.
Yeah, and Whitney's like, what I'm apologizing for is that I called her church a cult. I should have said, it's a church and a cult.
And Jen was like, oh, is it not a cult? And Jenny's like, yeah, it's not a cult. Since when? And she goes,
well, I don't have the facts, but I want her to know that I said that.
I was like, really? Because weren't you one of the ones who came on this season with the Mary has a cult storyline?
Yeah. And so then, Dewey's like cleaning up Jenny's mess with a rag, and then
smiling, by the way. Hilarious, Dewey. Hilarious.
Jenny, of course, has no problem then going up to Lisa and being like, oh, I'm so sorry, Lisa. I didn't mean to do any of that. This is literally the most controllable situation. Like, she wasn't fighting with you. You were chasing her down.
You mean you chased somebody around a party for no reason, throwing glass at them on accident? Fuck you. You're terrible. I'm so glad you're fired.
And Lisa's like, why are you apologizing? I don't care. Break some shit. Just not my signs or the embellished bottle that we're premiering.
Yeah. So then the guys are having like a wacky guy scene and it's so awkward. And John's like, guys, you remember that great idea we had for our wives, sending them to Zion? Whoa, I think that had its ups and its downs, eh? I called my neighbor who consoles me.
And Seth goes, well, the good news is that they came back with their chakras aligned, right? Where's Mary? Oh, she gone. She gone. Notice I only said she and gone. There was no verb. I'm so young.
Chakras. So John's like, where should we send them next time? To like further? Ha 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 ha. Ha ha ha. So then the ladies gather and Lisa's like, I've wanted nothing more than for us all to get along and to pay $7 for one slice of pizza. Sabaro way. Yes. Yes, I love that Sabaro way. So I don't want to be neutral. I just want us all to be strong and to be friends. Kambigata. Kambigata.
And Jen's like, Meredith, are we friends? We're in a neutral space, but do you consider me a friend? And Meredith was like,
yes, but I can't give you the proper support as a friend because I'm still dealing with my own pain, my own trauma, and Brooksy's diapers.
But you're dealing with your pain and your trauma, but you can be friends with everyone else but me?
Yes, you are the pain and the trauma. Also, you just committed, allegedly, some heinous crimes, and she doesn't want to be friends with you. Again, people have the right to not be your friend.
Yeah. Jen, every time you are like making progress with Meredith, you send it back by doing this thing like, why can't we be friends? Like, just let her come to you. She's a cat. Let her come to, hold down your hand and let her come to you and graze up upon you.
Literally last week, you were screaming at her that she was cheating on her husband with 10 different people.
Yeah, and that too.
I mean, she's like, I just don't get it. You just had your finger in her face screaming about like leading a secret life and having all these boyfriends.
Yeah. So Heather's like, well, be clear with her what the pain and the trauma is about, Meredith. Meredith invited you into her life and it became too close for comfort very quickly and you felt betrayed.
Okay, but then I need you to tell her that I did not talk about her marriage.
Yes, you fucking did. It was on camera.
It's on camera.
Well, I'm not rehashing my marriage.
And Jen's like, but I feel like that's where it's coming from. It's about me and how you're treating me and you're friends with everyone else, but I'm neutral. I'm neutral. I'm just like some person up on federal charges who talks about your family and made fun of your son on the internet. And like, I can't be friends with you.
And Meredith says, nobody else here did what you did to my family. And she's like, Whitney, you're the one who said all the stuff, and I'm the one getting crucified. And Whitney goes, oh, yeah, then this is about Vale. And Jen just stops her fake crying and goes, no, not about Vale, about last year.
Remember when I sent you that email, I said I'm going to bring up the stuff from last year. The Vale email was totally different.
So Whitney's like, is Jen out of her mind? Like, she is the one who started the conversation about Meredith's... your marriage last.
She may not have continued to talk about it, but if you're the one who starts it, you're blame. Oh God, it's hard.
If you start it, you're the one to blame. Which is so funny because all these storylines were started by Whitney, right? So it's like kind of a funny thing for her to say. And then the editors give her a ding. Also, we get a clip of. Of course it was Jen Shaw starting the thing about Meredith cheating. Whitney even stopped with her tiny little weights in that scene and was like, wait, what are you doing right now? Yeah. So Meredith's like, now Meredith has decided this is her big screaming moment because she didn't get hers either. So she's going to make it happen now too. She's like, you guys are going back to try to harm my marriage again. When I reconcile, I am out, girls. Out, ma'am, out.
But of course, she just stands there because that's Meredith's thing. She has to come back about five times before she actually leaves. She doesn't even bother leaving this time. So Jen goes,
Meredith, it's not about it. It's not.
Well, then stop talking about it. I'm not going here, Jen. I am not going here, Jennifer Shaw.
But this is about me. This is about my feelings.
Which is so Jen. And Lisa's like, Lisa Meredith, I think all Jen is trying to say. Okay, great. So now you're going to stick up for Jen some more. Like, have you guys not even been in these scenes that we've been watching? Like, how are you still making the same mistakes?
I know. All I think Jen is trying to say is not my part, is that she wants to be your friend. What is the problem here? What is it you all need to know? We discussed this last year. You want me to talk about the people you all are dating? I can do that.
And she's like finger waving and her head shaking off the top of her head and or shoulders. And Whitney and Heather just walk off. And Heather goes, let's fucking go. I hate these bitches.
Yeah, Meredith is now raving. She's like,
you want me to talk about who you dated? I'll go there. Just like I say to Brooks when we pass by a Kids R Us. I'll go there.
And so everybody gets the hell out of there because now she's threatening to to expose. Literally,
about to blow.
Yes, literally everybody scatters. So it's just her and Jen. And Jen's like, I mean, Charisse just right over there. And she's like, I'm out. And then she tells us,
yes, I have been sent information about the other women having extramarital affairs.
So Meredith is now finally getting real messy. And Seth is like, whoa, I didn't hear you yell a safe word from me. She's like, yeah, well, you missed it. Whoa, I didn't hear come on my face. Seth, I told you I didn't want that safe word.
Yeah, it's a disgusting safe word. All right. So they walk out arm in arm and loud enough for everyone to hear. She goes, I'll talk about who everyone's dated that nobody knows about.
So Meredith tells us, trust. They have plenty of darkness surrounding them that I am more than happy to talk about. Even though I clearly am not talking about it.
They pass a cameraman and Meredith goes,
oh, Seth and I dated other people. Wow.
And then we get our first update. Meredith and Seth are more in love than ever. They recently celebrated their 25th wedding anniversary. No boob cakes were involved.
Ugh. So then Jen and Lisa, Jen's like, you're signing up for somebody, okay? Jen's trying her old trick. Like, look, you just signed up for Meredith, and look what Meredith did to me. Have fun signing up for Meredith, okay? Because it's not my fucking fault that she fucked the entire fucking Upper East Side, okay? Which is where Lisa got it from. I mean, is that crazy that it's the exact same thing that Lisa said behind the closed doors? Jen wasn't there to hear that. So all that stuff that Lisa said, she heard directly from fucking Jen's mouth, which I thought was a funny way to end it, too.
Right. And I just also love the idea of Jen saying, like, Lisa, you're signing up for somebody. It's not my fucking fault. You're signing up for this person. What you should be signing up for is courses on how to build your own website, okay? Because that's what you should really be signing up for.
I know she uses that terminology when that's why she's about to spend, like, decades in jail, like, trying to get people to sign up for her. I mean.
And her update
allegedly.
Is,
allegedly.
Allegedly. Jen is anxiously awaiting her trial in March of 2022, which is next month, guys. And in the meantime, she tries to stay positive and relish in the good times and avoid thinking about my old closet.
Jeez. So she's going off about how, you know, who's still here? Meredith runs off. And so if we're going to crucify Mary Crosby for running off, then we better do the same for her. No one is crucifying Mary Crosby for running off. God.
Mary Crosby was not so much running off. She was chased off by Jenny. Let's not overlook that part.
She's avoiding flying glass. Okay. Yeah.
So then we see Mary actually walking on the sidewalk. And Mary is spending 2022 focusing on the joys in her life. She's spending more time with her son, her church, and her mannequins. Which actually literally like her DVD set of mannequins, 1, 2, and perhaps an unreleased
version. The King. Yeah, she's spending a lot of time with Kim Cattrall mannequin
singing a lot of singing a lot of Starship.
Mary now has a fear of being in a mall when it closes.
So then Whitney, she's like, I want to get blacked out because I just remembered the sex scene I filmed with my husband.
Oh God. She's like straddling Justin as he sits on a couch, like grinding him and taking shots. Whitney, keep it close. Stay classy over there, okay? And Whitney's like, traded the title of little girl for seal. It's like the lady who swings from chandeliers, but it's moisturizer.
I'm up for focus on more alone time with Justin and less robotic sex.
Yeah. John, I can't like tell you like how grateful like I am, like John. And he's like, me too. Can I get a drink? No, John, stay here and talk to me. Lisa has spent the last few months reflecting on her friendships. She's decided to be more upfront about her feelings when she's not mic'd in the privacy of her own home. All right. Okay.
And then Heather's joking with John, like, well, I'm thrilled I finally got my first Lisa Barlow invitation, you know? I mean, take it slow, though. It's like, take it slow with this friendship. And Heather has officially embraced being an ex-Mormon. To celebrate, she took a yacht trip to Norway. No word yet if she snagged herself a Viking.
It's a weird way to end it.
I know.
They're like, to celebrate leaving a religion, she went to Norway. Like, do Mormons not believe in Norway? I mean,
Scandinavia is too close to the outer darkness in the winter. It's like literally outer darkness. And of course, no final update for Jenny. Wah, wah, wah. Well, that was, I mean, what a truly amazing season with a lot of like, moral quagmires. And I mean, it's amazing that Jen Shah, the one who is accused of massive federal crimes and defrauding so many people, is not somehow at the bottom of the list with these ladies. It's crazy. That's why this season was so amazing.
Yeah, it sure was. And now we've got one of the weirdest reunions we're gonna sit through in a while. Looks crazy. Not because of screaming and yelling, just because of Jen's entire head trying to peek out from behind her dress the whole time.
Yes, lots of feathers. Thank you all for listening. Again, get some Crappens merch at crappensmerch.com. And be sure to get tickets to our shows in like Philly and D.C. and St. Paul, et cetera, et cetera. Go to watchcrappens.com to get your tickets there.
We'll talk to you next time. Love you guys.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Dana C.
Dana Do.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just saying, okay.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Wee McLovin, Karen McClellan.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
She's our queen, Marie Levine.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
There ain't no problem that Sarah Salvia can't solve ya. The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
Always the wiser, it's Allison Weisler.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
She's cheese on a bagel, it's Megan Ragel.
Erica, 500 Days of Summers. The incredible edible Matthews sisters. Don't get salty with Christine Pepper.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
No one makes us feel well like Megan Cap Sewell. Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Sarah Greenwood, she only uses her power for good.
Kristen the Ruby Rubano.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
We want to hang with Liz Lang.
Shannon out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.